Part 4. And Follow Me. Chapter 23. When Christ Becomes Home. I love surprises. My most memorable birthday parties are the ones I have no part in planning. I enjoy it when the guest list, menu, and activities are planned without me, when family or friends who love me carefully orchestrate every detail to perfection and simply invite me to the celebration. The beauty of such a party isn't just the event itself. It's the thought and intentionality that goes into making it a surprise that puts an exclamation mark on the love. That said, before many of those surprise parties, I knew something was up. I didn't know the where, when, or how, but because I knew the individuals making the plans, I knew the upcoming celebration would be great. I anticipated each party with joy and confidence because I had faith in the characters orchestrating the events. On the contrary, I have attended bachelor parties or social events in which those being honored have specified, "We want no surprises." Such a statement may indicate a lack of confidence in the planners, a desire for control, or both. Disciples find themselves somewhere between these two perspectives upon hearing the bold invitation of Christ. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus does not articulate the details of the journey. In fact, he intentionally masks the specifics of the call and concludes the invitation with a simple, "Follow me." We aren't called to a set of plans, to a certain location, or to the accomplishment of some great feat. We are called to Him. He becomes our dream. He becomes our plan. He becomes our location. He becomes our goal. Have we grasped this? Really? From start to finish, there is one grand objective: to know Christ. David had this one great longing in his heart: "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Psalm 27:4. Mary yearned for this one thing as she stepped away from the busyness of life to sit at Christ's feet. To that, Jesus said, "One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Luke 10:42. Paul, though a man of many activities, summed up his life in this statement: "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3:13-14. One thing defined the lives of David, Mary, and Paul: knowing Him. If Christ had come to introduce and implement a more detailed religious practice, our focus would not be on following His way, but on fearing His wrath. His words would have guided us to the law, not to His love. If Christ's life was merely an example for us to imitate, it would condemn us, since we all fall short. But this is the gospel. The good news invites us to know Him, not merely to know more about Him. In the musical The Fiddler on the Roof, near the end of the film, there is a powerful scene in which the main character, Tevye, is waiting at the train station with his daughter, Hodel, who is set to depart to join her fiancé, a political prisoner in the wastelands of Siberia. There on the train platform, knowing that she may never return home to her father, she sings to him her feelings. "How can I hope to make you understand why I do what I do? Why I must travel to a distant land, far from the home I love? Once I was happily content to be as I was, where I was, close to the people who are close to me, here in the home I love. Who could see that a man would come who would change the shape of my dreams. Helpless now I stand with him, watching older dreams grow dim. Oh, what a melancholy choice this is, wanting home, wanting him, closing my heart to every hope but his, leaving the home I love. There where my heart has settled long ago, I must go, I must go. Who could imagine I'd be wandering so far from the home I love? Yet, there with my love, I'm home. I can almost imagine James or John singing these words in a rich bass voice to their dad Zebedee on the shores of Galilee as they were about to leave him to follow Christ. Listen to the words again, but this time in relation to Christ, our bridegroom. We have a new home, and that home is where he is. Better yet, he is our home. Steve Green put it like this, I will go and let this journey be my home. I will live for you alone. I will go because this life is not my own. I will go. How does this actually happen? What builds such confidence in a God we cannot see? What is the practical reality of walking with Jesus in a way in which we'll know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering? Philippians 3:10. It all begins with falling in love. Well, living in the Middle East, I met a gentleman who had suffered greatly for the name of the Lord. He had come to Christ out of Islam and had been arrested multiple times for his faith. The guards at the prison had placed him in a public cell reserved for violent criminals and had even told the other prisoners, "You can do whatever you want to him." He deserted Islam. Periodically, they would bring him out for questioning and torture, openly telling him, "If you recant your faith in Jesus Christ, you can walk out of here today." One of their favorite methods of interrogation was to hang him by his hands so that his body would dangle. His torturers would then beat him, all the while reminding him that he could be freed, if only he'd recant. After this went on for some time, one day the Spirit of God gave him the response he needed. He told the guards, "You don't understand what happened to me. The love of God is like a spider's web, and I am like a moth. I got stuck in the web of God's love, and every time I wiggle and try to get out, I become more stuck. I'm now permanently stuck in the web of his love. So feel free to continue beating me and sticking your cigarette butts on my skin, but I cannot recant Jesus Christ." My friend's compelling response to his tormentors is echoed in a poem entitled Akdamut Malan, written in Hebrew by Rabbi Meir ben Isaac in AD 1050. The poem was later composed into song by Frederick M. Lehman after its words were found inscribed on a prison cell wall. "Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. It is this love that compels us. It is this love that brings us home. It is this love that is our home."